I don't know about you, but it feels like a lot of my friends are now getting on that baby train. If you have a friend who is also expecting or have little ones still in diapers, I always recommend Pampers Swaddlers. With Pampers Swaddlers, you can also rest assured that this diaper will prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Swaddlers has dual leak guard barriers at the legs to help protect where leaks happen most, and they have a blowout barrier, which is an innovative back pocket built into the diaper to help prevent those messy leaks up the back. Did you know that on average, babies will use up to 8,000 plus diapers before becoming potty trained? That is a lot. That's why Pampers Diaper Stash is the hottest baby gift for 2024. So give a gift to a loved one that says, "We see you and we've got you." Pampers Diaper Stash is an online diaper fund that all parents with little ones will love. You can organize friends and family to contribute to a group gift of an online stockpile that never has to run out. Pampers Diaper Stash is great because it takes the guesswork out of choosing what size and how many diapers to gift. It's so easy to do, and it's the gift that always fits.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to ABG, Asian Boss Girl, a podcast for the modern day Asian American woman. My name is Helen.
I'm Janet.
I'm Mel.
And I'm Cassie.
We have on today's pod our friend Kathy Ho, whom some of you listening out there may know as Blogilates. She's a fitness mogul, a serial entrepreneur, and a true Asian boss girl. Kathy started her journey to make a name for herself in the world of fitness as a Pilates instructor, teaching her signature format, Pop Pilates, for over 14 years now. Since then, she has certified thousands of instructors to teach the class in gyms across the world, and with over 4,000 live in-studio classes being taught every month, Pop Pilates is now the official Pilates class of 24-hour fitness gyms.
You would think that having built a fitness class like Pop Pilates is accomplishment enough, but we've barely scratched the surface here. Cassie is the CEO and head designer of a gorgeous collection of activewear and gym gear called PopFlex Active, with a tagline of workout, but make it cute. She started a fitness app called Body by Blogilates that provides hundreds of free full-length workout videos and fun challenges to help people get into the best shape of their lives, mentally and physically. She's hit the jackpot of everyone's merchandising dreams. As of December 2020, her Blogilates line is in Targets nationwide. It's no wonder that in 2017, she was listed in Time's third annual list of the Most Influential People on the Internet Award and has been on the cover of Women's Health and Shape magazine, amongst others.
Thank you so much for being on our podcast, Cassie.
Yay! I'm so excited to be on Asian Boss Girl. I love you guys.
Oh, thank you. We are so excited to have you on. And with you, Cassie, you are honestly one of the most accomplished people that I know and admire because you've really built your business from ground up. You are the child of Vietnamese immigrants. I understand that at the age of 16, you know, you told your dad that you wanted to be a fashion designer. And in response, he told you you would fail, you would make no money, and you would have no friends. You did not grow up naturally lean and fit, and I'm sure that played into your self-image, which we will talk about more later. But you are also a minority, an Asian, which, sad to think, but growing up, Asians were an anomaly in the mainstream fitness world. But somehow you beat so many odds and overcame so many obstacles to become one of the top fitness instructors out there with a thriving and diversified business. So I am super excited to share your story with our listeners today. And I want to start, way back. Let's go back to your childhood growing up in the Bay Area. What was that like? And also, do you remember the moment in your youth when you wanted to become the fashion designer that you mentioned to your dad at the age of 16?
Okay, so man, childhood really sculpts you to who you end up becoming. So I actually grew up in Southern California and Northern California, but I remember growing up in SoCal and just like not even really knowing I was Asian because I was just surrounded by white classmates. And the moment I actually realized that was when I moved up to the Bay Area and went to my first school assembly and like had a culture shock because everyone had like dark hair. It was like that. And I was like, whoa, hold on. Like that just felt really weird to me. And it was in middle school and high school, more high school, that I started to lean into my Vietnamese and Chinese identity. But, you know, it's interesting because I feel like a lot of the insecurities I have now really do trace back to my upbringing in a mostly like white community and stuff like that. But I was super ashamed of like having lunches that looked different than my friends. I was super ashamed of anytime my mom would speak to me in Vietnamese in front of my friends, I'd be like I would pretend like I wouldn't understand her. Like, what are you saying? Mm-hmm. And I was ashamed of their accents. And it's like really sad to think that, but you know, growing up without people looking like you, as a kid, all you want is to fit in. So, you know, that was a part of my childhood. Another part was I grew up really chubby and I didn't realize I was even fat until I went to a family party and this kid cousin or something like pointed her finger at me and she's like, why are you so fat? And while I was like mid eating something, of course. And then I just ran to the bathroom and I just started crying. And that was the moment I realized there's something wrong with me. Or at that moment, I thought there was something wrong with me. And that was the beginning of me becoming really obsessed with the way that I looked. And, you know, of course, this obsession turned into something else. And eventually, like my career later on and how to help other women find the best, fittest versions of themselves. But a lot of this stuff really does start with a childhood trauma.
Just hearing that brings back, I feel like, a lot of like childhood trauma for me as well. And I think a lot of people probably felt that way with people just making these like offhand comments. And they stick with you. They stick with you for such a long period of time. I think the fact that you were able to turn that into something where you can help other women is amazing. And I'm glad that, you know, that's the path that you kind of took with that. The other question that we wanted to ask you was, when in your youth did you realize that you wanted to become a fashion designer? Was it from that moment as well, or was it from a separate moment?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because in my life, things always happen in parallel and integrate. So when I'm telling my story, it's so hard because I forget what happened first and after. But my love for design and sketching came at a really, really early age. Like I started holding a sketchbook when I was like 6. And I would just like doodle things all the time. And I knew in my heart that all I ever wanted in the entire world was to become a fashion designer. And my parents like knew that, but they thought I would just grow out of this phase. So like, you know, when it came to time for thinking about the SATs and college admissions, I was like, oh, I want to go into design school. I want to do all this. Meanwhile, taking like AP classes for physics, bio, you know, all that stuff, right? So they were like, I don't understand. Like, you have great grades. You can get into pretty much any school that you want, and you want to go to design school? And so my dad was straight up said to me, and I so remember it, it's been burned in my memory at this point, but you will not make it. You'll make no money, and then you're going to have no friends. He really had to add in the no friends part because he really thought that was related to status and money. And anyway, it was really hurtful, and I ended up being like, okay, I'm just going to listen to my parents. I didn't hit my rebellion phase until later in life. So I decided to just go for bio major. Okay, put my head down, be a doctor, because he was like, either going to be doctor, lawyer, or, you know, something else. And I'm already an engineer. That field is not exciting. And I wasn't really great with reading comprehension. So he's like, you're going to do doctor stuff because your grades in science are good. So I was going to go to UC Berkeley, actually. And I was already like signed up for everything, ready to go in the fall. And then last minute, I remember that I had already earned this Fulbright scholarship to Whittier College for biology, like earlier in the year when I was like, you know, signing up for scholarships and stuff like that. And I was like, I just feel like just doing something a little bit different. Like, all my friends are going to Berkeley. Like, this is going to sound weird, but because when you're in, like, the AP honors group, like, for us, UC Berkeley was, like, the safe school. Yeah. It was, like, I don't know. So, anyway, I just wanted to, like, get out. I didn't want to, like, see the same people. I just wanted to, like, be somewhere else. So I decided to go to LA, go to Whittier College last minute and get a degree in bio. And, you know, I just totally hated that. I hated going to chem class and bio class and physics because my heart was dying inside. All I wanted was to draw and sketch. And so I kept doing that in the outlines, you know, on the sidelines of my notebook. It never left me. And, you know, more storylines will integrate here. But that's also when my Pilates thing started too.
Dang. I think it says a lot that you decided to go to Whittier, even though getting to Berkeley. And I felt there's a lot of pressure too in the AP setting where everyone's like talking about what school you're going to and what your grades reflect. And it also sounds like design was always something that did you just couldn't leave and separate from, even though you're going to chem and bio classes. Did you feel like a sense of guilt because you had this full ride scholarship? Your dad said all these things to you. Like, what was going through your mind as you're like, you know, trying to pursue your degree? Because from my understanding, you also graduate with a degree in bio. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. I did. Yeah. So the whole college experience was really tough for me emotionally. Because on one end, I'm really trying to excel in my classes, but that's just been ingrained in my body. Like, there is no, it's either be the best or, like, there's no other options. You just have to be the best. So I was, like, studying so hard with the mind, but not, it wasn't there in the heart. And I'm, like, someone who's so full of passion. If I can't live my life passionately, then, you know, I don't even want to live at all. And, like, honestly, it got so bad that, like, during college, I, like, had really dark thoughts. Like, if I can't make my parents happy and I can't make myself happy, then, like, maybe I shouldn't make nobody happy. Like, it really got there. And so I was in my junior year having a lot of guilt for this, definitely, because I felt like I just couldn't do things right in my heart and for my parents, who have, like, sacrificed so much for me, right? Like, my mom was a boat person in 1975, like, didn't eat for 7 days and seven nights. Her boat was pirated on her way to Malaysia, and then she escaped Vietnam because she wanted to give her future children a chance at success. Like, she sacrificed a lot, and for them, it was like, all we're asking you is to be a doctor, get a good income, bring status to our family, and then you can draw and stuff on the side. And, like, they really were trying to make it work for me. And, you know, and I'm jumping all over the place, but it wasn't until later on in my life, like now, that I realized my parents weren't trying to torment me. They were trying to just help me find financial stability, which is something they didn't have. Because, like, growing up, my mom would wake up at 3 a.m., work at Safeway on her feet all day decorating cakes so that she could get off at work at 2 p.m. to pick me and my sister up. Like, they had a hard life. And, like, my dad was trying to get his master's degree at night while also working an engineering job with racism. Like, it was a lot going on. And so I get it now, but back then I didn't. When in college, I felt like I had no choice. The only thing I knew how to do, because my parents wasn't listening to me, I kept telling them, I don't want to do this. Like, it doesn't matter, you're going to do it. And it's funny because they were like, okay, well, if you don't want to be a medical doctor, then how about, like, a pharmacist? Oh, you don't want to do that? How about an optometrist? Okay, you don't want to do that? How about a dentist? They just kept going and going and going. And then they ended it at naturopathic doctor. I went to a seminar just to, like, appease them. But the last thing I could do was I decided to sabotage myself and my timeline. And so it was my junior year. The last class I needed to take the MCAT was going to be organic chemistry. And the only thing I could do to, like, let them hear what I'm saying, like, how unhappy I was to drop out, was to drop out of organic chemistry and just, like, ruin my entire timeline. And that's what I did. And, like, they got so upset. And for me, this was the beginning of my rebellion moment, which most people, it happens in high school or earlier or when they're 13. But that was my moment. And that was the beginning of our relationship becoming really, really rocky. And I eventually did graduate with an honors in bio, whatever. I finished that. But then I applied for any job that I could, like, remotely close to fashion, because that's where I wanted to go. And yeah, that's what happened after that.
How did you just drop out of, I mean, that sounds like a class I wouldn't want to take anyway, but, like, did you just get yourself to drop out of it? Like, what did you do instead? Did you replace it with a different class that was more aligned with what you wanted it to do?
Let's see. I don't remember my schedule, but because it was a liberal arts college, I think I took some weird class that was open at that time because nothing else, like, everything was taken. Probably for something like French cinema, like, just, like, whatever. I don't know. But wow. I don't know. I probably went to admissions and was like, I'm not doing this class anymore. And so that was it. Yeah.
Yeah. You just followed your gut there.
I did. And so I still no longer, I don't qualify to take the MCAT. You know what's interesting though? I'm really interested in nutrition. And, like, I feel like had I been like, had I realigned my goals back then and knew that I was going to get into this stuff later on with Blogilates, I wish I had a registered dietitian. Like, I want that under my name. That'd be really cool. And so anyway, I looked like a couple months ago, oh, how hard would it be to do that? And of course the class they have on there is organic chemistry.
How ironic.
I know. So funny. I should have listened to my parents. So that's what happened. But college was also when I discovered Pilates. And I know, I'm jumping all over, but it was in college that I was like feeling so rock bottom, like just in my heart, that I decided to, I was like working out a little bit more, doing Pilates. And then like in the dorm hall, other girls were like, oh, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, this is called Pilates. And they had like never seen that before. And I used to, my parents bought me the Mari Windsor DVD. I don't know if you guys remember. There's like a million infomercials on that, like back in the day, like in high school. Anyway, I had my parents buy it for me. So I would do Pilates in my bedroom just by myself with Mari Windsor. And so that really inspired me. So I had started doing that around 16 years old as well. And continued to do that in college and then started teaching kind of my friends and my dorm mates. And then I was on Craigslist. Loved Craigslist, by the way. Ended up getting really creepy. But I found a lot of jobs on there. One of my first jobs I found on there was, we are looking for a Pilates instructor at our gym. And it was for in downtown, uptown Whittier. And I was like, okay, I'm going to audition, even though I'm not certified, but I'm going to audition anyway, whatever. So I went to the audition, and the gym owner actually really liked what she saw. And she's like, okay, great, can I see your cert? And I was like, yeah, so about that, I don't have that. And then I am so lucky because Avalia, that's her name, who started that gym, she paid for my certification. And had she not done that, I think it really would have changed the course of like the rest of my storyline at that moment. Yeah, so in college, I started teaching Pilates at this local gym, like really tiny, like two or three people at a time, just getting like my feet wet. I was probably really terrible looking back now. But it started to fill my heart in a way that nothing had been filling my heart at that moment in college. And so when I told my parents how happy I was, they were like, you need to quit immediately. Like, you were wasting your time. Like, how much are you getting paid? It was like $12.50 an hour, like nothing. And then they were like, stop, you need to study more physics. Like, stop, stop, stop. I didn't listen to them. I'm so glad I did it because that helped me, you know, prepare for the rest of my career. So yeah, that's when Pilates started.
Wow. So lesson learned that we should have listened to our parents for OCHEM, but not if they're telling us to quit fitness instruction.
You know, it's hard.
Yeah. No, I mean, Cassie, I know you keep saying that you're going all over the place, but honestly, I think that is a part of what it is to reflect on our childhood. And for a lot of children who come from immigrant families, a lot happens. And I have the same experience when I reflect back on my childhood. I'm like, the events, because I'm connecting them in different ways, so it's not always chronological. But, you know, but everything you've shared has been so rich in helping our listeners understand where you're coming from. And I see this thread of like this really hardworking woman who is feeling the tension of, you know, wanting to serve their family and do what's right, but then also like so vigilant about pursuing what you personally feel like turns you on and lights up your life, you know, like that, the Pilates and the sketching. How did you, so you started teaching Pilates and then eventually you turned this into an online business while you were in college, is that right?
Yeah, so I'm going to add in one more thing that happened. During college. So, you know, I met Sam during college. Like, lots happened during college.
Wow.
So basically, as I was teaching, I noticed that I had this problem. And, you know, back then when CDs were a thing, I would have to carry my yoga mat, my CD, my keys, my water bottle, like, and my towel, like, all in my hands like this. There wasn't anything cute to hold everything. And so I was like, oh my gosh, what if I designed a cute yoga bag to hold my mat and like all my essentials for class? So I went to downtown LA and bought some like scrap fabrics and put together something really cute and glam because, you know, that's how I am. And then I brought my yoga mat bag with like these gold straps and like this big bow to class. And my students were like, oh my gosh, that's so cute. I want one. So that was the beginning of my first like fitness fashion design ever. And then around the same time, I also met Sam. And it was funny because obviously, like, should I go into that story? This is so many.
Yeah. I want to hear about how you met Sam and how that plays. Yeah.
I think that's important because I think maybe a lot of Asian girls, like, listening to this can understand this too. So, my dad was like hovering over my academic life. Like basically like playing chess with my academic life. Oh my gosh, you guys, this is so terrible. But he actually called my professors in school and like asked how I was doing. So embarrassing. Like one of my marketing professors, I had a business minor. he brought me aside. He's like, Cassie, I need you to know this, but like your dad like just called and like asked for a status update. Like it was so embarrassing. Anyway, oh so that goodness. Was my dad. I know, it's cringe. And then my mom, on the other hand, was like mother tiger over my love life. And like from a small age, she always said boys were bad. You can't touch them. You can't kiss them. Don't do anything with them. And you cannot have a boyfriend until second year of college. Like, so, like, I don't know why the second year of college thing, but like, whatever.
So prescriptive.
I had a secret boyfriend in high school. We didn't do anything. Like, I swear we held hands. That's all we did.
Aww.
She straight up forced me to break up with him while listening on the phone.
Oh, no. Wow. She listened on your phone calls? That's the worst.
Like, how did she find out?
I think I might have been acting a little bit differently, like, you know, like go, you know, biking somewhere at a random time on a Saturday, you know, and I remember me and him were just like hanging out under a tree at the park and I saw her van circling.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Scary.
Oh, wow. I know. I just think about it. I'm like, oh my god, it's like, I think we like tried to lay flat, like against the grass, like, ooh, okay. Anyway, where was the story going? I forget. Oh yeah, things that happened in college.
Sam
was third year of college, so I thought I was in the clear. So I had gotten like a B minus or something on a finance test, and I went in to go see the tutor because I really wasn't understanding what this was all about. And it happened to be Sam, and we just like naturally like, you know, began talking and then dating and things like that. And that's how that happened. But I remember when I brought him home for the first time, it's so funny because we just posted a comic about this today on Bloggy Comics. That is all true. So basically I brought Sam home for the first time. My mom and dad like looked at him and my mom started crying and she ran into the bedroom and slammed the door. And oh I was like, what is happening? Right? Like, what is happening? And so I left Sam with my dad for like over an hour, which is scary because it's my dad. Like, oh my gosh, like just meeting up anyone's dad is scary, but like my dad is next level. I left him there and I went to go like consult my mom to see what was going on. And like diving back now much deeper, I think I'm trying to still figure that out. I think it's because she felt like she had lost her daughter or something like that, like her best friend. And like, maybe that's what the crying was about, but it was a lot. So anyway, that was a whole parents moment that I wanted to share.
Cassie, for Sam, like, mm-hmm. did your parents eventually come around to accept him? And like, when did that happen?
So it's really interesting because I thought that when we were going to get married, this like weird stuff would end. But like, I remember like planning the wedding and like how like distant my parents were getting. They just like kept like getting more and more distant as Sam and I were getting closer and closer. And so I think now today, we've been married 3 years now. It's definitely better. Like it's not where it was when we were getting married. Cause I think that was like the second moment of, you know, mom crying and running into the bedroom situation, but she didn't do that. But I could feel that stuff like that was happening inside her and my dad. Because it was so interesting because Sam and I had been together for 10 years before we got married. And I still remember when I like told my dad that we had gotten engaged and he said something really weird. He was like, great. Now I'm going to get to know Sam. I was like, wait, what? Mm-hmm. Like, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. So now they accept him, I think.
Yeah. Okay. And this is like, and is it because, okay, I'm just gonna ask this. Is this because they wanted you with an Asian person or someone who is maybe Vietnamese, Chinese background?
You know, they had like sort of like, my mom had like sort of said that, like,
yeah.
When I was growing up, she'd be like, oh, great if you, like, got married to, like, a Vietnamese doctor or something like that. But then she's also really extreme, and she'd be like, would also be great if you could try to get Prince Harry. Oh so, goodness. Yeah, my mom's just really extreme, so I don't know when to take her seriously. But I don't know how much that would play a role. But since we've, like, gotten married, our parents have gotten closer together. Sam comes from a Jewish family, and they actually immigrated as well to escape persecution. And so it's been nice to see both of our parents like relate over that. even though they come from two totally separate backgrounds. Mm. I like we've had some dinners together, and they really do feel for each other. You know, yeah. Going to a new place with zero money, no friends, don't know the language, and having to start anew.
Yeah, relating mm-hmm. over the immigrant experience.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to go back to college when I understand. The reason why I bring that up is because the first YouTube video I ever posted was actually at Sam's parents' house. And this was actually a few months after I had graduated. And we were at his house in Fullerton. And we thought, oh, wouldn't it be fun if we filmed a video and like maybe just put the yoga bag in the background. Like maybe somebody will like that. So back in the day when YouTube had, I forget what they're called. Were they called like annotations or something? Mm-hmm. You could like make them pop up. Okay. We put an annotation that was like, buy me. It's so cute or something like that. We never thought that Blogilates was going to take off for the fitness part. We always thought like, oh, fitness is just going to be like for fun, but really it was going to be about the bag. And then it became about the fitness. So that's how Blogilates started in 2009.
Wow. So that's so interesting. So it was led by, like, I mean, I guess like one of the takeaways of the story is, like, you what you intend may not be the thing that kind of lifts it off, but it will come full circle.
I know. It's kind of crazy. And, it, like with everything I'm talking about, there was always, like, a dual something going on. At this time also, I was moving cross country from LA to Boston for my first job. And my students at the gym were like, Cassie, how are we going to stay in touch with you? Because nobody else was teaching pop Pilates at the time, which is Pilates to pop music. Back then, it was all like classical music, really slow. But I'm all like, I love dancing. So, like, oh, let's do like crunches to the beat of the music. It was just really fun. And so that video also was for my real life students to stay connected with me if they ever miss doing pop Pilates. And it's so interesting because that's always been the essence and the heart of Blogilates. It's connecting with people. And so I think that's one of the main reasons why Blogilates is still around. Like 2009 till now 2022, that's a really long time. And to be able to continue going through all of these like platform changes and like, you know, there's like a new hot influencer every other month. Like, you know, it's interesting because it goes back to wanting to be a teacher, wanting to really share and spread joy through fitness that really makes it sustainable.
That is beautiful. Do you feel like there was a moment where you realized that that was the core mission?
I think it like came over time, but like I just know that like when you're teaching group fitness classes in a live setting, people come back to your class not because of like how well you taught them to do a crunch. It's because they love you. And so the connection is always going to be what it's about. And so I think even for me, because I'm just a naturally bubbly person, when I'm talking about my nails or when I bought this new oat milk at Trader Joe's, like those are the things that like maybe make people come back to the videos because it's more human, it's more real. And it's like, okay, if you're like super girly like me, like I might vibe for you, but that might be too much for some other people, but I'm not going to stop like leaning into being me because that's just who I am.
I don't know about you, but it feels like a lot of my friends are now getting on that baby train. If you have a friend who is also expecting or have little ones still in diapers, I always recommend Pampers Swaddlers. With Pampers Swaddlers, you can also rest assured that this diaper will prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Swaddlers has dual leak guard barriers at the legs to help protect where leaks happen most. And they have a blowout barrier, which is an innovative back pocket built into the diaper to help prevent those messy leaks up the back. Did you know that on average, babies will use up to 8,000 plus diapers before becoming potty trained? That is a lot. That's why Pampers Diaper Stash is the hottest baby gift for 2024. So give a gift to a loved one that says, we see you and we've got you. Pampers Diaper Stash is an online diaper fund that all parents with little ones will love. You can organize friends and family to contribute to a group gift of an online stockpile that never has to run out. Pampers Diaper Stash is great because it takes the guesswork out of choosing what size and how many diapers to gift. It's so easy to do, and it's the gift that always fits.
So Cassie, you walked us through teaching the Pilates classes and then meeting Sam and creating the bag and that you started uploading to YouTube. Mm-hmm. Can you walk us through maybe some like big pivotal milestones or moments and when you knew that this was going to be a career for you?
Yeah, I can. So I think I have to do this like in parallel, like the fashion side of things and the YouTube side of things, because they really do happen hand in hand. So after college, I graduated and moved to Boston, and I worked for this huge company and in their fashion buying program, because it was the closest I could get to fashion. Well, because no actual like designer would hire me, because I don't have a design like degree or background or anything. So fashion buying was the closest I could get. And during this time, I was, let's see, how do I talk about this? There's so much going on at once. I guess during this time, I was really unhappy at the job because it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. Like the culture wasn't right. Like nothing was right. And I wasn't doing what I loved. And it was a lot more analytical than I thought it was going to be. So before I had left for Boston, I had mailed out some of my yoga bags to certain magazines, and each bag was like gold to me because I didn't have that many at all. So I mailed out some, you know, the Shapes, the Self, the fitness magazines, and just like hoping someone might pick it up. And so 8 months into the job, I'm sitting at my desk just hating life, like just can't live anymore basically. And then I get a text from my sister, and it's like a picture of my yoga bag like on some glossy page of a magazine. And I was like, what is this? And then she's like, this is you in Shape magazine right now. And I was like, what? Because I'm like some no name nothing whatever, like college student, like whatever. And so I took my lunch, I drove out to Target, and I started flipping through Shape magazine super, super quick. And then I couldn't find it the first time because it was so fast. So I did it again. And then the moment I saw my bag, I straight up like just fell down on the floor, like crying. And I was like, this is a sign. This is a sign for me to like follow my dreams and like do what I need to do. So within like a couple weeks of seeing that, I resigned from my job. I bought a ticket to China on like a Friday and left on Sunday. And I was like, I am going to go to the Canton Fair. That's like one of the biggest like supplier conferences in the world. Find a manufacturer and like, I'm going to go hard, because my whole thing is, if you don't give yourself a chance to succeed, you'll never know. And I don't want to live a life of regret, like ever. I would rather fail hard, fall on my face, than say what if. Like, I don't want to, I just don't want to live a what if life. So I did that. And, you know, after coming back from China, having found a manufacturer, there's a whole development process. And I had no job. And actually, Sam and I, we had broken up at that time too. So he left Boston. I'm now in this apartment with no income, when we used to have two, and no, like nothing. So I started teaching Pilates 12 times a week to make ends meet. I started recording YouTube videos because I was bored in between those class times and stuff. And I look back at Boston as such an important time of my life, because it trained me to be such a good Pilates instructor. And also it was my training grounds for making YouTube videos more like seriously too. And so that's that. So getting in Shape magazine was one of the first pivotal moments. The second pivotal moment, I remember was when Bubs Beauty shared one of my videos, and then I noticed like my subscribers go up that day. And I thought that was really cool, because like really cool people were actually doing it, not just randoms all over the world. And then I think the third like really, really big one was Facebook was the only social media platform at that point, besides YouTube. And I had posted like something, and fans were saying, oh, like we want a shirt that says Blogilates on it. And I was like, why would you want like my screen name on a shirt? Like, why would you wear that? And so we had like a little design contest, and then like, you know, fans turned in the designs, and Sam and I were like screen printing these ourselves. Oh yeah. At this point, we were still broken up, but like trying to get back together. I mean, it was messy anyway. So, we made these shirts, and the moment we posted it, it like sold out like immediately just through a Facebook post. And that was the moment I knew, okay, I think merchandising and designing is going to become a thing. And it's been so beautiful to like grow my Pilates and fitness career in parallel with my fashion business. And it's so beautiful that YouTube and just the internet has allowed me to come back to my original childhood passion, which is fashion design. So I'm always so grateful for YouTube, because it wouldn't have happened without YouTube.
Dang, I think hearing your story, Cassie, I mean, especially when you share the one Jacqueline sent you the text of finding your bag in shape and then falling to the floor and crying, like, it makes me really emotional because I think a lot of people can relate to the fact that, like, trying to appease their parents, especially when they went through such hard times, but something deep inside your soul is, like, telling you, this is something else is out there for you. And that moment of, like, look at my bag in the magazine. It's true, like, I don't want to say, like, miracles, but these moments of, I don't want to say divine intervention, but, like, something like that in the world is, like, telling you signs to show you what you're meant to do in this world. I'm really happy you had that moment with the internet, with that one Facebook post, like, grow your business and your brand. And to be honest, as someone that I followed, you know, I did Vlogilates in my dorm too. And, like, I had a lot of people, like, when I was a senior, a lot of freshmen would do your calendars, your workouts, uh-huh. to see how far you come and grown. It's amazing. And now even myself as an entrepreneur, I see you do so much and do it with such grace and also just kill it in the industry too. So I feel like you wear so many different hats. Like, you definitely run your Instagram account. You now have a TikTok, a YouTube channel, get your fitness class money on your plate. I'm switching it over now to, like, as an entrepreneur, how do you focus on all these different lines of businesses under Vlogilates? Do you mind walking us through also a typical day in your life?
Yeah, definitely. Okay, first of all, thank you so much for following and doing the workouts. And that's so cool that you saw people following the calendars too. Like, I love hearing those things. Yeah, my life is, like, crazy. I don't get enough sleep and it's terrible because living a healthy life isn't just, like, healthy eating and exercise. Sleep is a really big component. And I think a lot of people don't realize that. Maybe they are kind of now because mental wellness is becoming more of a thing. But, like, actual literal sleep, you need that. Like, you can, like, when I was younger, I used to, like, work out at 12 a.m., like, just to get my workout in to burn, you know, fat, burn calories, and, like, eat really healthy. And I didn't, like, see any changes in my body because I wasn't resting. So it's so important for me to live what I say, and I'm currently not because I don't have balance in my work life. Okay. But I do work out every morning, but I need to figure out how to sleep more. Anyway, what I'm saying is that every day my life is super different, but, big majority of my time is spent on PopFlix and the design and the development of new products. And right now our team has gotten to the best place it's ever gotten to. And I'm so grateful for the people around me at this moment because they were smart. They come from great backgrounds. We just made a huge hire with a former Spanx executive. So she's helping us with, like, our development. Like, so it's, like, real, and I'm like, that was scary. Like, there's a lot of, like, new things I'm, like, jumping into right now that just feel so, like, it's, like, exhilarating, but it's also, like, I was having these dreams. Oh, I talked to Helen about it over IGDM, and I kept having these dreams where these, like, waves were, like, engulfing me, like, for nights in a row, and I was, like, could not figure it out. But then Helen was like, oh, but did you die? And I was like, no, I didn't. Something to that, like, degree. And I was like, I did. She's like, great. It means you're going to survive this. It's going to be fine. And I was like, oh, yeah, you're right. So I stopped having those dreams, and things have been, like, feeling, like, more in control now. But pretty much every day is spent in quite a lot of meetings about design and development. I'm sketching something new. Like, we're designed out through December 2022 and working on 2023 right now. Wow. We're talking about different categories of business. And so that excites me so much. It just gets me going. I can't stop talking about it, which is also another problem that I have. So Sam and I need to work on that because we need to work on our, like, human husband-wife relationship too, not just talk about, like, new strategies all the time. But yeah, it's a lot of that. And we just had our first company retreat, like, last week. And that was really cool because never before had we dedicated time to working on the business instead of in the business with our team. Every day we're just surviving and, like, trying to, like, get through the next launch, get to the next sale or something like that. Figuring the next, like, set of YouTube videos. But we did that. I feel like everyone's super aligned. We have, like, a common mission. We all get it. And we really respect one another. And, like, I'm so grateful for this because just, like, 4 or 5 years back, I was about to quit everything, like, everything. I wanted to end Vlogilates, end Pop, like, literally end everything, move to Hawaii, and just be like, that phase of my life is over. And the reason why I felt that way is because I didn't have the right people in place. Like, I was walking into the office, like, and then having, like, my heart would, like, beat irregularly, and then I had trouble breathing. Like, that's, like, the environment, it got so toxic that I didn't want to be at my own job anymore, at the company that I own, because I had the wrong people in place. But we, you know, those people are gone now, and we have people that are just truly amazing. And so I wouldn't be able to accomplish what I'm, you know, doing right now without everyone's help and expertise. But even so, we're looking to hire more, because the interesting thing with me is that maybe it's the way my parents brought me up, but it's like, oh, if I'm not constantly challenging myself, then I'm like, I'm not doing enough. And I know, like, there's a whole conversation with, like, productivity and self-worth, but right now, maybe it's unhealthy, but my self-worth is, like, related to my productivity, so I need to figure that out. But yeah, so we're planning a lot for the future, but it's fun, and it's a lot, and it's hard to film TikToks in between all of that, too.
Oh my goodness. Wait, Cassie, how many people do you have? First off, I'm so glad to hear that those toxic team members are gone from your life. I think the last time we, like, really talked in person, that was, like, something that was on your mind, and you were trying to figure out where to go, or how to shift. But I'm curious, like, how many people are on your team right now? And do you have a head of Instagram, head of TikTok? Because you are still the face of the company, so you still have to be involved in every single platform. Is there someone sort of, like, telling you what to do now, or are you, and you're just, like, strategizing at the top?
Yeah, so I'm strategizing at the top. We have a head of product development, and we have a design team. So that's, like, very much in place. But there is definitely no head of Instagram or TikTok or whatever. Like, I am. Everything Blogilates is me. Like, everything you read and, like, see created, like, I edit everything. I wish I didn't have to. Oh, not on YouTube, though, but on TikTok and Instagram. Like, I do everything for that. We do have an editor for YouTube stuff, but honestly, like, right now, YouTube's not exciting me too much. I think most people feel that way. And it's so interesting that when we started, YouTube was short form content. Now YouTube is long form content. It's just, like, so insane. But going back to how many people are on our team, we have 10 full-time people on our team with benefits and everything like that. And then we probably work with around 20 to 30 different contractors, like, all over the world. So that's what it's looking like right now. And I'm also, I just have to do a plug for Upwork, because if there are any entrepreneurs listening to this right now and you're just having a really hard time finding people to work with, because it is scary to hire someone without having actually worked with them, I love Upwork as a way of finding freelancers and then, like, kind of getting a vibe for people's workflow. And then if you really like them, you can make a job offer. And I've actually found a few people from Upwork that are now full-time on our team. But yeah.
That is awesome. Good to know. I literally, we have a Slack channel going on, and I just wrote Upwork I remember.
I That's awesome. Am an Upwork, like, advocate, like, to the ends of the world. Like, I love Upwork.
That's so good to know. That's
Can
so
I ask, Cassie, how, so of the 10 full-time people on your team, what are the roles?
Okay, so let's see. We have a head of product development. We have me, CEO. We have Sam, who's the COO and CFO. That's, like, dual right now. I mean, everyone wears a million hats. We have a director of partnerships, who also is our, like, project manager. We have lead social media, but that's more for, like, PopFlex and, like, the other brands, not, like, Blogilates. No one touches that. We have business development or something, but she also, like, runs the Pop Pilates and fitness program. We have a senior graphic designer and, like, lead visual content. That's mostly, like, marketing for PopFlex and things like that, all our newsletters that go out, banners on the website. We have two technical designers for PopFlex. There. Daniel is our lead artist for Bloggy Comics. So we have a comics page. So that's him. And then I'm the 10th one.
Well, Cassie, what I love about your work is that you don't just promote exercise. You promote an overall healthy lifestyle and positive body image. But this transition from a fitness instructor to a role model in the fitness industry, that sounds like it's a really scary transition. Not only are you expected to just give great workouts, you're expected to be this poster child for what a healthy, active person looks like, thinks like, talks like, eats like. And in this world where body image is such a sensitive topic, and I feel like no opinion seems like the right opinion, how do you maintain your own self-image and passion for your work with so much negative criticism out there?
It's really, really hard. So I have to answer this question by talking about my 90-day journey that I went through a couple years ago. So basically, at that point, I think maybe this was 2019 or something, I had been online for so long, 10 years, and really had dwindled down to a vanilla cupcake because I was so scared of being myself because it always offended somebody. So I felt like I couldn't say anything anywhere. Everything I said had to be so bland. And I started to lose my sense of self. And I was really unhappy online. Like, I didn't know who I was going to be. And people were saying, like, why do you not have abs, but you teach, like, an ab program? Like, why do you have a lower belly and a flat butt? Like, just, like, really, really mean things. Like, why don't you look like everyone else? Just, like, stupid stuff. When I had originally gone on YouTube to teach, not like become a fitness supermodel or something like that. Nobody's asking for that. But I think in the age of Instagram and TikTok now, like, people will buy programs literally based on how the person looks. And like, that is not how it works. Like, I'm not a billboard for my workouts. Like, I'm a teacher so that you can find the best version of yourself. So it was really hard for me. And I, you know, it was just after a retreat I had gone to, I came to this realization that I was no longer living for me. I was living for other people. And that's why I was so unhappy. And this is also like post like toxic work culture stuff. I was just really not feeling it. I was like, you know what? I need a rehaul, need to live my life as I would like to do it. And so I was like, I'm going to go on a fitness journey. And yes, this is definitely going to involve weight loss because I need to like lift weight off of my shoulders, but, and also do things in a fitness way that are still, well, they'll actually lean out my body at the same time. Anyway, I solve a lot of problems through fitness and it just, I like that grind and, you know, getting through something hard. It just makes me feel good. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I posted that my goal was to get in the best shape of my life mentally, physically, and emotionally. And I wrote down all my body stats, like how much I weighed, like my measurements, like everything, like went so like vulnerable, right? Like stripped down to my bikini and like showed them what my before body looked like and that I'm going to go change. And this upset a lot of people because I don't want to like put anyone in a corner, but because I didn't look like your typical fitness instructor. I was like slightly bigger, I guess, even though I'm like, you know, I'm not obese. Like people wouldn't even consider me fat, but I just didn't look, I was a little softer, right? Because I was a little softer, the media had put me in the body positive category. And so during body positivity times, anytime somebody would write about me, it would be like Cassie Ho, comma, like body positive, like activist or something says whatever. That was like my coined role. And so during that time, I had gained a lot of body positivity, like, you know, lovers, like in my fan base. So when I announced that I was going to lose weight, all of those people felt like I had turned on them, had told them somehow they thought that me losing weight meant that they had to lose weight and that I, and they started calling me names, calling me a hypocrite, saying that like, I'm ashamed to all women in the world and I should stop doing what I'm doing, that I have a mental disorder. Like all, I mean, it was crazy. And then like that went crazy in media as well. But I was like, you know what? I have made a statement that I'm going to live this life for me. So all this stuff that's happening right now, that stuff cannot bother me because I'm here for me right now. I need to find my spine so that I can like keep doing what I'm doing. And so I went on this 90-day journey where I was going to blog every day because blogging and writing has always been my therapy, but I stopped doing it because again, I was in the vanilla cupcake phase where I didn't want to say anything. So I went from 7 days of blogging a week to one a month. Like it was like that bad. You could see me dying out. Mm. I could see myself dying out too. And so I blogged every day, told people what I ate, how I was working out, how I was feeling. And eventually like over the 90 days, I gained so much confidence just like in the way that I felt. And I did have a transformation. It was physical, but it was more internal. And no one will be able to like understand that unless they've gone through it. But the crazy thing is after my 90-day journey, like the Cassie that came out at the end of that, she was reborn. And that version of me is who I am today. And I really do believe that that confidence that I gained throughout those 90 days trickled into the rest of my business, into everything else, and has really gifted me with like where I am now with everything. But I needed to go through that. And yeah, I lost fans. I lost followers. People called me things. But if I didn't do that, I would not be where I am today.
Yeah. I mean, how do you deal with all of that negative criticism? Is it just relying on Sam as your support network, or do you go to therapy? Like, I mean, like for ABG, we've gotten some criticism too. And someone was like, you know, when you get criticism, that means you're attracting an audience that wasn't there with you before, or, you know, maybe they're like really invested in you, trying to see a positive side of it, but it's still hard. You know, we still take that stuff to heart.
Yeah.
How have you dealt with all of the negative criticism?
So I try to talk to Sam about it, but there's only so much he can understand because he's not a girl. He's not me. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not, like, gone through weight issues. So I probably should see a therapist. Like, I've actually been thinking about it. I've gotten some recommendations from friends because it's a lot to handle. I do also try to talk to other people in the space who might understand. But, like, I mean, my own situation is so unique to itself. But I do think it's important to talk it out. I'll try to talk to my sister about it. But again, it's limited. And it's something that when things are happening and it's bad, like, you have to talk things out. Otherwise, it builds up as something really toxic inside of you can eat away at you. Mm. Luckily, right now, I'm in a good place. But I do want to try therapy to see, like, to get to know myself better. I think that would be cool.
Yeah. Knowing that, you know, for a lot of our listeners are growing up in today's world where Instagram and TikTok, everything is so, almost every individual has a public image versus their personal image of themselves. Mm-hmm. What tips would you have for someone, like, given your own personal experience, of how to balance that, of how to balance, like, you know, dealing with people having a strong opinion of you and being able to, and anyone being able to vocalize that, and you really holding on to your own personal idea of yourself?
It's hard, and I don't think it stops becoming hard, especially if you really care about your craft. And that's why, like, when you guys, I think, are getting criticism about what you're doing and you put your entire heart and soul into what you do with the best intentions, and someone is able to somehow take that, twist it, and say that, no, you actually meant to do this and you're hurting me. Like, it's really hard. And I, at the end of the day, like, I'm a person and I am affected by these comments. And, like, you know, Sam will be like, oh, don't worry, it's just a comment. Again, it's like, but, like, it still hurts. And, like, I think there's a difference between, you know, the straight up hateful stuff, which is one thing. Those I can turn off because it's just like, you just have issues. Like, go, like, project somewhere else. But then there's the stuff that, like, you know, longtime fans, like, see something that they don't like and they harshly criticize. And, like, maybe there is, like an inkling of truth in it. And that's why it hurts even more, right? Because you're semi-aware of it. And so I think when you're able to separate, like, the pure hate from the criticism and then take the criticism and help it improve you or your business, then I think that's how you can actually deal with it. So, yeah, but I feel like if you care about your craft, it's not going to stop hurting any less. Because you're just so connected to it.
That's a really beautiful way to articulate it, to say, like, it's not to just turn it off completely and disregard it, but to really know how to sift through what is just pure hate versus what is something that I can take positively out of this and make it constructive and work for me, you know? So thank you for sharing that.
I was able to take what seemed like pure hate, maybe it was pure hate, and actually turn it into something viral. So that's interesting too. Back on YouTube, when I was getting all of those, like, you're fat, like, comments, like, just, like, really, like, unnecessarily mean stuff. Your waist should be smaller. Your butt is so flat. You should be bigger. I actually took those comments and I created a YouTube video where I Photoshopped myself to look like what they wanted me to look like. And so I gave myself huge boobs, like, a teeny waist, like, big hips, and, like, changed the color of my eyes and stuff, made them bigger. And then that video, and with the screenshots of their actual comments, went viral. And it was like Good Morning America talked about it, the Today Show, like, it went, like, crazy viral. And so there are instances where you can take the energy that someone's, like, just, like, spewing at you, and you can turn it on its head and make it work for you. So I think you can always make it work, but it does take, you have to allow yourself to grieve and cry, because there's a lot of crying with that. And then you have to get to a point where you feel stable and you're like, okay, well, what can I do with this? You can get really creative too.
And given that you've you know, walked through all of these years of so much interaction, what do you, from your memory, recollect to be the best thing that you've heard from the public about you? And then conversely, what has been the worst thing that you've heard?
Ooh, the best thing and the worst thing. The worst thing that I've heard is, someone said that if you cared about your career, you would lose some weight. That was attacking my worth ethic and my body all in one. And that made me so mad. And that was actually the comment that started off that whole viral video that I did. I hate that comment so much, because how you dare you say that my body has anything to do with like my, like what my work is, right? And the best thing that someone has said, maybe is the moment when Taylor Swift tweeted that she did the Blogilates 100 ab challenge. I think I straight up just died, because I love Taylor. And so that was like the coolest thing.
Oh my gosh. So many extremes though that you have to deal with. So cool that Taylor Swift did your workout. That's amazing. Wait, so Cassie, what is it like to work with Sam, who is amazing, your husband? What is it like to work with him? Like, how do you balance your personal versus professional relationship? Working with them, eating with them, sleeping in the same bed with them. Like, how do you separate that?
We don't separate it. Maybe that's part of the problem, but I'm so lucky that we can work together, because we have really different strengths. Like, actually, like, where I struggle, he is a superstar, and like vice versa. And so I think we really respect each other's like opinions and boundaries when it comes, you know, to one person wanting to have an opinion in a certain space, but then knowing like, okay, at the end of the day, like, you like make the final decision there, because that's like what you're good at. But then again, like, of course we're flexible and we allow ideas. Like, on the other side, like, if Sam like has an idea for like fashion or something, like, sometimes they're good, many times they're not, but like, I'll listen to him, you know? But I'm really grateful, and I feel really lucky that we can work together, because I know it's something that is not easy to work with family. And we eat together, we're in the same room working together every day. And I think what we need to work on is carving out time and space to just be husband and wife. I think that's really, really important. And I'm bad at that, because I constantly have ideas. And I tell people all the time, like, the day I stop having ideas is the day I die. So I just need to figure out like how to like switch off fully on the weekend or something, so that we can like find more time to be with each other. But we just went on our honeymoon a few months ago, 3 years after our wedding date. And it was so cool, because we like took 14 days in like French Polynesia, and it was like better than even pictures. It was like so good. And we truly enjoyed being able to just be husband and wife for 14 days, that I'm booking us another tropical trip like this winter, so we can like focus on that. Right now I feel like our balance is like go hard and then like rest hard for a little bit and then go hard, right? I don't know how to do that on the daily yet. That's something we're working on, but maybe booking more travel will help.
Is that also Sam's natural state, to just be like work mode, or is he always asking you like, No,
I'm the crazy. Like, I am just insane. And he like, just like, he's like the type that like, can be content with like what we have and like, this is good. And I'm like, no, but why can't we do more? Like, think bigger, like stuff like that. It like stresses him out. But eventually like he'll like be like, okay, this is cool. Like I like the growth and stuff like that. But no, like Sam is like more of the Zen state person, and I'm not. Yeah. I'm constantly moving, and it's a problem.
You guys
sometimes are
so complimentary for each other. It's wild. I love it.
It's insane. Yeah. And you know what? I think because he also grew up with parents that weren't like, you have to get straight A's, like, or else, like, and stuff. Like, he's very, like, happy with, like, the present. Like, and I'm always, like once the thing has happened, I'm, like, on to the next. Let's plan, like, the next 3 years. Like, I need to work on being able to appreciate this moment. Otherwise, I'm going to die and still be thinking about, like, the next thing we have to do. I don't think it's healthy. It's just it's the reality right now. And I know I need to work on it.
Oh, well, it's beautiful that you guys have that balance and you have him to kind of anchor you down. Yes, yeah, so as you've, you know, explained, you're always having ideas, you're always doing things. We've talked about how you wear multiple hats. Mm-hmm. Three hats that we're particularly interested in is your entrepreneur hat, a manager working, you know, on a team, like in your business, and as a creator.
Mm-hmm.
Between those three, which do you think is most challenging for you?
Oh, the most challenging 100% is manager. Like, I did not realize until running this business and hiring people that management would be the hardest thing in the world about running a business, because not you're kind of like you're managing emotions and motivations and things like that. You're managing human beings. Like, if it came down to just like, hey, here's the deadline for the task and get it done, like, no problem. Like, we could do that. But like, getting people to be on board and like having the heart and soul that you have within, look, it's never going to be like as much as like the owner or the founder has, but like, still like that same vibe, like, that's really, really difficult. And like, going through that whole toxic period with our earlier team, like, really taught me that management is something that I'm really bad at and that I need to work on. Luckily, right now I'm managing, like, yes, we have the team of 10, but like, there are also like people who help manage people. Like, I'm like in direct contact with like the design team, because like, that's natural for me. Like, that's cool. And that one isn't as much management as much like we're creating together. So that's really fun. And then Sam's really good at like the management side, making people, like, making sure that people are happy. He also has a really good sense of people, like, when they're feeling stressed. And like, I think I do stress people out because I have all these ideas all the time. And like, the team will be working on something, like, oh my gosh, like, how about we do swimwear now? And they're like, oh my gosh, like, wait, we're still working on 2022. Like, so I have to like hold back sometimes. But yeah, management is definitely the hardest part. And again, like, I'm going to bring Upwork in again. It's been amazing because when you hire a freelancer, you can get a vibe of each other, like, if it's going to work for them or work for you. But like, when you're just like interviewing people, I feel like you have to make like a marriage proposal, and then you kind of like blindly go into this marriage without really knowing like these people's like quirks and things that like make it work and make it not. And then you find out later on, like, oh, like, this is definitely not going to work, and it's just bad. And then it goes from straight up like blind date to marriage to straight divorce. Like, it's like so hard. And there's no dating period with hiring. I think that's actually really problematic.
That's a very good analogy. Yeah. I mean, that's true. All of these, like, the influx of a lot of these like freelance kind of working together frameworks, there's a lot of positive to being able to test each other out before we commit. Mm-hmm.
I guess one thing that we've tried to implement for ABG is that we have like a 3-month contractual role, and then we'll see how we'll reevaluate at the end of that. And that's sort of like our buffer, just in case. So we're not like fully committed yet, but, you know, just testing the waters a little bit.
I love a good celebrity documentary. I think it's the psychoanalyst and detective in me that loves to get the behind-the-scenes look of people who lead lives that are so different from my own. If you're also into celebrity documentaries, I'd recommend you check out Even the Rich, a Wondery podcast co-hosted by Brooke and Arisha, who share the stories behind some of the most famous and infamous celebrities in history, from Madonna to Britney Spears, and from the Kardashians to the House of Gucci. In an all-new season, they investigate the shocking kidnapping of heiress Patty Hearst. This story involves a politically influential and affluent family and an urban guerrilla left-wing group. Wow, two very different sets of lives and experiences from my own. But I love how hearing about their stories allows me to empathize with and gain compassion for people who are so different than me. And if you want a little more Brooke and Arisha in your life, they're the perfect guides to give you your daily dose of celebrity gossip on Rich and Daily. Listen to Even the Rich, Patty Hearst, and Rich and Daily on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, and you can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app.
All right, so I want to talk to you about Target. What a dream it must have been to have gotten a call from Target to say that they wanted you in their stores. How does that even feel? That is like the ultimate validation in life, because in a way, it means that America has accepted your branding and what you stand for and want you to be in all of their stores nationwide. Like, let's step back for a moment and think about that first initial call that you got from them. How did that feel for you to pick up that call and be like, Target? Really?
Yeah, I was like, okay, it was going to be a pitch, right? So it wasn't like definite. I had a chance to go pitch the product and see if they would take it. So I, in my head, was already like going to prepare for heartbreak, because I think that helps make the blow easier if it doesn't happen. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go show them our best-selling products. And like, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, whatever. And so did that. And it was such a scary meeting. It was also really interesting because it brought me back to like my times at that big corporation I worked for right out of college, because I was going to, my big dream back then was to be someone like him who was going to make the decision on taking brands into stores. And so it just like brought back all of these memories too, but now I'm sitting on the other side. You know, it was crazy. I mean, we pitched and then we went home and we weren't sure if it was going to work out. And I just actually had erased it from my mind. And then 2 weeks later, we got the call that they're like, okay, we're ready to make a purchase order. And I was like, wait, what? Like, huh? And so that's when it got really exciting. We started designing stuff like exclusively for the stores. And that was really fun. I wanted to definitely, you know, I'm so girly and like, I love how girly I am. So I was like, we are going to have like gold weights with muted tones and like everything's going to have florals. Like, I just like love that. And you know, it's you hate it or you, I love it. So I was going to put that in all the stores and the buyer like was all about the gold dumbbells and it was going to be kind of a higher price point because that's like something you don't see. But, I was really confident about pitching that. And he was like, okay. So we ended up putting that in stores and it ended up becoming the number one seller for the Guagalais line, which is really cool. And really grateful that he took a chance on something like that because they had never sold anything like that before. But yeah, leading up to that though, we had some issues with the packaging and I had talked about this on Instagram a little bit, but they really wanted to put my face all over everything. And I kept saying like, oh, no, just put Blogilates, it's fine. And they're like, no, we want your face. And I was like, no, it's fine. And we went back and forth and like, I was even digging into like, why am I like saying no so hard? Like most people would want their face like plastered everywhere. And I was just like, no, just let the product speak for themselves, which is important too. I want Blogilates and PopFlex to be brands that people like because of the quality and the promise of the product and not because it's related to Cassie Ho. Like that's how I know that I would have built a legacy brand. But anyway, I dug down so deep and was like, Cassie, why don't you want your face on the packaging? And I actually found out through lots of deep digging that I didn't want the color of my hair and how I looked and like how small my eyes were to affect sales. Because I had this thought that if people saw someone that didn't look like them in a certain part of the country, that they wouldn't even want to, you know, buy my stuff. Like that was like a real thought that I had. And I didn't even talk about that until like way later after launch, because it came to me later why I was feeling that way. But yeah, I'm glad I did put my face on it because it did create that initial connection with fans or with like people who have heard of Blogilates, oh wait, yeah, isn't that the girl like on YouTube or whatever? Like that was a really good decision. I'm glad I went with that because why shouldn't I have? You know, just these like internal racist things that we have against ourselves, like thinking that my race would affect sales and that if I couldn't sell enough and I couldn't be in Target again. Like, I mean, these were all like real conversations I was having in my head.
Mm. We are so glad that you did put your face on it and it is a beautifully packaged and marketed product and you look amazing in all of those images. Like, hello, it's so good. So I know with Target, there's not as much of a feedback form as a YouTube video in the comments section, but did you actually get any negative feedback because they were like, oh, I don't want to buy this from this Asian fitness instructor? Because that was your fear, right?
That was my fear. And I didn't know. I mean, we had 4 months to prove ourselves on that end cap to see if Blogilates could make it for next season. And it sold out within like a few weeks. Like it was crazy. And amazing. So immediately the buyer was like, okay, we need to start thinking about next season. And so just this fall 2021, Blogilates had its second wave. And in January 2022, we'll be in aisle and also on the end cap at the same time. And there's going to be kettlebells with like gold handles. And we're expanding the lines. I'm like so excited. Yeah, all about that gold.
That is so cool. Wait, so when you got the call from them, you had to create this exclusive line just for Target. So you had put all of your energy into PopFlex. But were you able to take some of the products in PopFlex and transition that over to Target? Or did you have to like dig into the recesses of your mind to design something completely different for Target? And also, how long did it take from the moment where they're like, we want you to do this stuff, and then you had to like produce the products for it?
Yeah, I mean, the lifetime of a product from like conception to like getting on shelves is generally like 9 to 12 months. So that's around the timeline that we worked on it. And everything at Target is exclusively a new design, but like the products are proven on PopFlex. So for example, our number one selling, one of our number one selling products is the vegan suede yoga mat. And so I made sure that we could have something like that for Target as well, but in a different color and a different print. So it would just feel different. So I think it was really nice for the buyer to see that these products do sell well to Cassie Ho fans and like what people at store might like too. So there was a revamp of designing, but not of like, not too much of development unless it was like something brand new, like dumbbells, like a category we have never done before. So yeah.
I loved how you talked about how you're kind of struggling, like putting your, you know, your face on your products. And, you know, one thing that we kind of share in our podcast is how like, you know, a lot of our girls, you know, work in corporate settings where they are one of the few Asian faces, you know, in their company and in their industry. And I feel like you had similar experiences working in the fitness industry. How does it feel now to like gain such a strong traction in an industry where originally there weren't a lot of Asian faces? And how would you say the fitness world has shaped your personality and your perspective on life now?
You know, what's interesting, I think because when I was growing up, I kind of was the only Asian person in my classes and stuff, and I didn't like really notice it until later. I kind of like approached what I was doing the same way. Like I'm just being a fitness instructor, just as Cassie, like I'm not trying to like be like the Asian face of something. And it just so happened that, you know, when Blog Lice became a thing, I realized like, oh, like let me look at these magazine covers. Oh, they've only ever been white people. Okay, like I see that. Mm. And so when Health Magazine put me on the cover, I thought, I was so grateful for that because you could like go to the stands and see the lack of diversity. Like luckily, like today there's more and I'm so happy about that. But yeah, it's interesting too because Asian people, or at least like my body and, you know, friends that I'm surrounded by, our body structure is different than like certain assets that are kind of like the ideal at the moment, right? Like the ideal Kim K body with like big boobs, a tiny waist, like huge hips. Like naturally, I don't look like that unless I get surgery. Like I just can't. And then some other, maybe other ethnicities are more like they have that in their genes. And so I think it's hard too when fitness is so like, your body is your billboard. And if my body doesn't fit into that, that also like lessens my chances at like certain opportunities too, when it comes to like having to look a certain way. And I'm talking about like covers and things like that. But I think now the landscape has really started to embrace diversity and all like the, all our backstories and stuff. So I think that's really cool. And then what was your second question?
I guess like how has the fitness world shaped your personality and your like perspective on life? It must be hard too, because I feel like you lived your life like doing Pilates for like, the last 10 years. It's like part of your day-to-day and your routine now, huh?
It is. I just, I don't know, like fitness is always like, there's like trends all the time. I'm just like thinking how it has shaped my life because it like is my life, you know?
Can I ask if it wasn't fitness, what do you think you would be doing? Mm. Like if fitness is your life, if what would be, if that was not an option or for whatever reason, if it's something different?
If I wasn't doing what I'm doing right now, I would be designing evening gowns and bridal wear. Like my heart is in like red carpet gowns and like all like I love, like that's what I was drawing as a kid. It was strictly red carpet gowns with huge trains and like low V, like plunging necklines and stuff. Like I love sparkles. I love all that stuff. So I'd be doing that. But you know, it's a long way from activewear to that, so not sure that transition will ever happen.
Dude, your Shang-Chi dress, dude. I was just like, girl, holy moly, risque and beautiful.
Oh,
how beautiful.
That was so fun. That was so fun.
Was that your first time creating a dress?
Yeah.
Like that?
Yeah.
For a red carpet premiere?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I've never been to a premiere at all. And so, yeah, that was definitely my first time wearing my own dress to a red carpet premiere. But the only other time I'd ever done anything close, well, nothing ever has ever come close. But I like designed my prom dresses or designed prom dresses for friends, like stuff like that, like costumes for dance recitals, but nothing at that level. Ever.
Wow. All right. We're going to eventually, 5 years from now, start seeing some active wear with like tutus on it or like dresses.
Oh,
a train. Eventually, there'll be longer dresses.
You know, do you know what? So like we launched these active skirts, these running skirts, like a couple months ago, and they like sold out so fast. because I think there people just need to feel girly while they're working out. I'm not the only one, yeah. I swear. So actually, next year we're going to be launching active dresses. So I'm so excited about that. Yeah. With like, you know, think about like tennis dresses, right? But like for running and stuff. Yeah. I'm so excited.
Cute. That's cute. Wow. That's awesome.
Well, we're heading near the end of our conversation now, Cassie. So we're hoping that you can leave our listeners with some more nuggets of advice. We are wondering, what's the best advice that you've ever received? And if there was one piece of advice you could give to our listeners out there of Asian Boss Girls, what would it be?
So the best piece of advice I ever got was from a talk that I heard while in college. And an entrepreneur came to speak to our class and he said, if you don't give yourself the 100% chance to succeed, you'll never know. And like, as you can see through this interview, like I told you, like, I don't want to live a life of what ifs and stuff. And that honestly was the thing that like shifted my mindset to not being afraid of failing. And just giving yourself a chance to try things out. And you know what? Sometimes it's not going to hit and sometimes it's going to hit really hard, but you have to know. And that would definitely be my best piece of advice that I could leave for Asian Boss Girls.
Thank you. That's great. Love that. That's, I think, believing in yourself. If you have any type of inkling, really, really pushing it and it coming from a place of self-worth, I think is a beautiful message.
Thank you.
That was great advice. We wanted to end this podcast, Cassie, with like a fun fire round. Asking you just a few questions. So I'll start us off. I say fire round, but let's just see how the questions go.
Okay.
I'm reading my first question. I'm just like, is this a fire round question? Okay. What are two things that you do to stay motivated and inspired?
This is not a fire round. You can't have two questions in one. Okay, fine. What makes me motivated? I like growth. And what keeps me positive? If I'm going to say fire round, then I really like ube milkshakes. That keeps me super positive.
Okay. What is your favorite item in the PopFlex or Blogilates Target collection?
I really like the gold dumbbells. That's from the Blogilates line.
Nice. As a fellow lover of Trader Joe's, I'm curious, what are your top three favorite TJ items?
Oh my gosh, so many. Okay, teeny tiny avocados, the oat milk, and oh my gosh, the butter lettuce. Oh, my fave. Yes. This is going to sound crazy, but I buy 6 butter lettuce bags at a time. Because I eat like 1 to 2 a day.
Is it different from a Ralph's or a different grocery store?
Well, okay, the Ralph's, they add like other leaves in there and I don't them. The butter lettuce from Trader Joe's is like sweet and I have not found any other place that sells it cut up and just like at that like texture anywhere else. It's straight like if I do a Costco round or I go to Ranch 99, like there's I do like at least four supermarkets because everyone has something, and at Trader Joe's it's the butter lettuce that keeps me like I have to do a round at Trader Joe's.
I gotta check that out.
What are your current top 2 personal fitness goals?
Ooh, my current top 2 fitness goals. I want to run faster. I suck at running, but you know, it's one of those things where it's hard and I just want to be better at it. And my second fitness goal is to get more flexible. I want to be able to do a standing split unassisted and I cannot. So yeah.
Damn. Wow. That's a hard.
I can't even do a sitting split or a 75 degree. I can't even do anything. Okay.
And last question, what is next for Cassie and Blogilates?
Ooh, what is next for Cassie and Blogilates? So much. I plan on releasing more collections for PopFlex next year. Expanding different lines and categories of products that we're in. And I just want to just keep designing. I'm just like, it literally fills my heart with so much. And I'm just so grateful that I get to be creative every day. And hopefully our team will continue to grow with the same energy, same type of passion from these people that I just feel like am so lucky that they came into my life because without them, I wouldn't be able to do as much as I am doing today. So I just want to like keep growing. It's just like so fun.
Aww. Well, thank you so much, Cassie, for being on our podcast today. I feel like this was a longer episode than normal, but we are so engaged with everything that you're saying mm-hmm. and all of the golden nuggets that you're leaving for our listeners out there. Is there anything else that you want to share with our listeners as somewhat of a closing statement?
Ooh, a closing statement? I mean, I just want to say that I'm so excited to be on Asian Boss Girl because I love everything that you guys are doing. And I mean, I lived that corporate life and now I'm living the entrepreneur life. So like literally like whatever works for you, just like make sure that you do love what you're doing every day because there's no point if you don't because we're all going to die. And if you're going to die not having loved your daily, then that just makes me really sad. So yeah. Like, so, you know, if you have to quit your job, then like do it, but do it smart. Like do a little out of time and see if it works. Because I've heard those people saying like, oh, just like quit your job and like, you'll figure it out. Like, you know, some people might not figure it out. So like, let's be safe first financially and then, you know, then figure it out. So yeah.
That's hilarious. Cause that is the advice that we give all the time. Do it, but do it smartly.
Yeah. Yes. Smart about it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Cassie. It was a pleasure to have you on our podcast. Thank you so, so much. And everyone, look out for Cassie's at Blogilates on all the social platforms. You can continue to follow her there.
Thank you.
If you don't already, please follow us on Spotify, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and review, and share this episode with your friends. You can also support us through monthly donations at anchor.fm/asianbossgirl/support or get some merch at asianbossgirl.myshopify.com.
If you resonated with today's episode, let us know in the comments of our IG post. And if you'd like to put faces to our names, you can find us on YouTube. Our handle on both platforms is @asianbossgirl.
And some shout outs for today's episode. Thomas in Los Angeles is wishing a happy birthday to Melissa, his favorite ABG. I love you and wish your greatest wishes come true. From Brent in Belmont, California to Heidi, aka String and Fabric, happy 24th birthday. Keep being an ABG. Kelly in Houston, Texas is sending a shout out to her ate, Larissa. I love you so much and am genuinely thankful to have a big sis like you in my life. From Lillian in Orange County, California, shout out to my ABGs, Kelly and Eileen. Y'all are the best and most inspiring support team I can ask for. Can't wait to see what 2022 brings us, and wherever life takes us, know that I'll be rooting for you, queens. From Nikki in NYC to Jacqueline and Tracy, love these double shout outs. Happy birthday, my apartment F homies. Wish we could be celebrating together. From Brandon in San Diego to Janet, name twin, the biggest birthday wish of the girl with the biggest heart. Happy 24th birthday, boo. From Raheel in New Jersey to Sim, happy birthday, Sim. You're one of the kindest souls I know, always uplifting everyone you meet. You deserve the best of the best. From Tracy in Arizona, happy birthday, Lina and Hannah in Santa Ana, California. Wishing you girls a year filled with adventures and delicious food. Love you guys from your cousins in Arizona. If you'd like to send a few words of encouragement or a shout out to a friend, check out the link in the show description or our link tree in our link in bio on Instagram and click on shout outs.
And last but not least, thank you to our super talented editor, Michelle, for working all her magic on our episodes, including this one.
And with that, we will catch you all on the next episode.
Bye.